You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Good morning to everybody. Good morning to everybody out there. I want to thank y'all for joining in with us on this morning here. We want to thank everybody for tuning in for this day. This is another day. This is another day, but it's a special day. It is Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers that are out here all across the land. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers that are out here, the hardworking fathers, the fathers that are fathers to their children, those that are father figures to other children in your families and communities and neighborhoods. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all of you. And I want us to enjoy this day on today. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in this day. If nobody else is going to praise him, you're going to find this one right here praising him. You're going to find me praising him. I want to thank y'all. This is Pastor Jeremy Glenn of the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, where we want to welcome you to come grow in the soil with us. We want to welcome you to come grow in the soil with us. I just want to start off this morning here. Got a couple of announcements that I just want to mention here before we get into our message. First of all, thank all of y'all that have joined us on Zoom. I want to thank y'all that have joined us on a different streaming platforms, as well as those on our radio audience for We Talk Radio. I want to thank all of you for joining us on this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements on this morning. First of all, today is Father's Day, but yesterday was Juneteenth. Okay, we all understand Juneteenth is now a federally observed holiday. How about that, right? It's a federally observed holiday, and I just want to, just say, listen, let's make Juneteenth what we can make Juneteenth, right? We understand the significance in behind that, especially for those that are here in Texas. We understand this has been a long-standing traditional holiday here that we celebrated when we got the news almost 2 years later that African-Americans, were free. Okay, we got the news a couple years later, and we've been celebrating that for years and years. Let's continue to celebrate that. That is something that we're prideful about and that we love. And it's not just an African-American celebratory holiday. This is the nation. OK, this is the nation. We the people, we all make up this nation. This is a federal holiday and we should all celebrate Juneteenth just like we do July 4th and all these other days. Let's make sure that is a sentimental moment that we celebrate every single year. And I just want to say happy Juneteenth to everybody as well. Also, as we all know, okay, 30 days ago, we had quite a bit of rain all across the state of Texas. It was cool temperatures. Well, June came in and said, well, guess what? This is Texas and this is summer. I want to encourage everybody to stay cool, okay? Hydrate yourselves. This heat is no joke, okay? This heat is no joke, and heat strokes are no joke as well. So I want all of us to take that seriously. Hydrate yourselves. It's what you do before you get into the heat, okay? That's really most important. Not when you're out there in the heat. You want to hydrate yourselves before you get out in that heat. Stay hydrated, stay cool. Let's do everything we can to make sure we combat the extreme heat temperatures that we're dealing with right now, okay? So just want to make a note for that as well, that we want to continue to do that. And then also, I just want to say that a lot of you have asked, and we're getting ready to get to that point, but July is going to be our we're going to start welcoming new members to join this church, and we're targeting August is going to be our first new members orientation. Okay, it's going to be a new members orientation. We're going to do it online, most likely on Zoom, something along those lines, and we'll talk about the church, talk about going to more depths. We'll talk about more details for joining the church and all that good stuff. So if you're ready to take that step and join our church, become a member of our church, reach out to us here. Our email is info.soilchurch@gmail.com. It is info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I'll talk more about it later in the message as well, but just send that to us and we'll send you over the package of information here. We'll email that to you. You fill it out here. We'll get you registered and we'll get this train moving. Okay. We will get this train moving. So again, I want to thank everybody for joining us here, whether you're joining us live or you're watching this later next week, later on tonight, or whenever that is. Thank you for spending this small segment of your time for joining us on this morning. So without further ado, our message here, I want to talk about that. I wanted to, we're in our series here, The Power of Strength. I kind of wanted to divert a little bit to just have a special message for Father's Day on today. Just want to talk about Father's Day on today, what that means to so much of us here and the importance of Father's Day as well. Because in our nation today, we're celebrating Father's Day. This is what today is. We're celebrating Father's Day. And this is a day that we set aside, okay, to celebrate all the fathers in our lives. Okay, it's the fathers in our lives, not just our direct fathers, our biological fathers, but all fathers. We want to make sure that we take time out to celebrate fathers on today. We want to show love and appreciation for who they are to us. We want to show love and appreciation for who fathers are to us. But here's something that's happening right now. You know, however today is Father's Day, the reality is throughout the years, this day has become very much downplayed. You don't see a lot of commercials on television about Father's Day. I guarantee you most restaurants aren't going to be just extremely packed, unlike Mother's Day. Okay, you don't get all the different jewelry commercials and different, you know, you might get a Lowe's or a Sears or you know some commercials like that, but it's nothing to the level of Mother's Day. And we love our mothers, we appreciate our mothers, and you all know that we love you here. But Father's Day has not had the level of significance and the celebratory factor that it should be. And a lot of that is, and I want to talk about those reasons, a lot of that is due to, you know, it's just society in general. You know, society has just, it has a way, you know, media has a way of amplifying what it wants to amplify and not amplifying what it does not want to amplify. But and really and truly, as we move on in society, as we move on in our lives, the actual role, the actual position of a father is starting to become downplayed. It's starting to become watered down. It's starting to become underappreciated, not as relevant as it should be. So if we're not careful, we can get to a point to where the figure of the figure of the father will start to become passé. It will start to become diminished, undervalued, underappreciated. But I want everybody to know and understand fathers matter. Okay, you can put that in the chat. Fathers matter. And fathers matter, and we're going to talk about why fathers matter. And of course, we're going to go book, chapter, and verse relating to that. But my message on today is I want us to understand fathers matter. And our message is called the strength of a father's love. The strength of a father's love. So before we dive into it, let us open up with a word of prayer to just get our minds fixed on the word of God on today. And let's hear what God has to say about the strength of a father's love. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come together and we thank you for everything that you're doing through us, Father God. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, because you're the first father that saw fit to nurture us, Lord, to cultivate us, Lord. And for that, we thank you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for being that father for all of us, Lord, in our lives, Lord. We ask that you just renew our minds, Lord, renew that power of strength in all of us, Heavenly Father, and help us to fix our minds on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And let nothing come in to distract us, Lord, to open our hearts. We ask that you open our hearts, open our minds so that we receive this word on today, Lord. This is a message for everybody, even though it's talking about the strength of a father's love. This is a message for every man, every boy, every woman, every girl. This is a message for all of us, Lord, because you are for all of us and you are our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, again, thank you everybody for joining us on this morning. Those on Zoom, those on WeTalk Radio, and those that are watching us on the different streaming platforms as well. So in our message last week, okay, I just want to connect some dots here. Our message last week, we talked about the father role that the Apostle Paul played for his understudy, this young man that he was nurturing and cultivating in the ministry by the name of Timothy. Okay, by the name of Timothy. Timothy was like Paul's understudy, if you was. Paul took him under his wing. Okay, he nurtured him. He cultivated him, right, as he grew up in the ministry. He just basically wanted to be that father-like role to the young Timothy. Okay, Timothy looked up to Paul. He looked up to Paul with great honor and respect. But before great honor and respect could be given, we have to understand that honor has to be received and respect has to be earned. Okay, honor has to be received and respect has to be earned. And on that note, I want to say something to the men that are out there. And man, I'm going to do a lot of direct talking to you during this message on today. For us men out there, one thing that I want us to understand is that we have to first show that we are honorable. Okay? I want y'all to hear me again, fellas. You have to first show that you are honorable. Okay, and then you have to earn respect before respect is given. Okay, you have to earn respect before respect is given. This is what we have to do. Okay, this is what we have to do, because oftentimes, if the respect is not earned first, okay, and if the honor is not allowed to be received first, which means that you're making yourself honorable, okay, what can happen oftentimes is this can create turbulence in a relationship. This can create turbulence in a relationship. The God that we serve is a God of decency and in order. And when things aren't operating in decency and they're not operating in order, turbulence is what can come. Turbulence is what can happen. Okay? The Bible says that God, as we're talking about God being a God of decency and in order, God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man. Okay? And then from that on, then man is the head of his family. He's the head of the wife, right? His wife, his household, so to speak, his children. That's just the orderly structure that God built the foundation of the family. And we talk about that a little bit more if you go back to our series as we were talking about the power of relationships. And I tell you guys, a lot of our messages, they connect. As we talk about the power of relationships, and we talked about the foundation of the family and what God's intentions were. So men, we have to start off by making sure that we earn that respect and that we present ourselves honorable before that respect is received and before that respect is given and that honor is received. Okay? So just because, from a position standpoint, the man, according to the Bible, is considered as the head and the head of the family, doesn't mean that that's an automatic thing that's given. It doesn't mean that it's automatic. When Jesus told the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," and he went and handpicked all of them, that's what they did. They followed him. They followed him. It was a process. They saw the different miracles. They saw the different things that he would do. They saw the different teachings that he would give. And we're going to talk about one of those teachings here, because we've got a story that's going to relate to fathers as we get into this message here. But they took some time to really get to learn who he was. Same thing that Timothy did with Paul. He took some time to learn who the Apostle Paul was, so that that honor could be received and that respect could be earned. We don't walk around and throw our weight around just because we're a man and say, "Respect me, honor me." It doesn't work that way, guys. If Jesus was a gentleman about that as well, we also have to be a gentleman about that. And we have to make sure that we spend time earning respect and that we spend time showing that we're honorable. Okay? Because here's the thing. Here's what I want us to understand. It's often a misnomer in a relationship, because nothing is automatic. So when you come into a relationship, and I'm talking to you young single guys that are out there too, those that maybe had been married before and you know, you're getting ready to get married again or have the aspiration to get married again, you have to present yourself as honorable. And it takes time to do that. And you have to present yourself as worthy of being respected. It doesn't come automatically. It has to be earned. So what we're saying is, a relationship, especially as we're talking about the family, as we're talking about a husband and a wife, or if you're dating and cultivating a relationship has to be cultivated, okay? It has to be nurtured, and it has to take time to develop, so that the respect and the honor, especially of the male, especially of the man, it can be earned. Okay, and this is again with the Apostle Paul. This is what he told them. Now, I'm going to pull up a scripture here. It's not the heartbeat of our scripture here, but I want to give you this scripture here. It's just going to lay the foundation of our message. So the Apostle Paul, he told the church of Ephesus something special here, as there's talking about the roles and the family and laying the foundation, the foundational structure of the family, laying the foundational structure of husbands and wives. And so he in his letter to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus that he planted, here's what he told them in Ephesians 5 and 25, verses 25 through 28. It is Ephesians 5, 25 through verses 28. I want to read to you the Message Bible's translation about what God said about husbands, in particular husbands here. And I want to read this to you so that you can understand. And I want to read the Message Bible's translation, because it gives us a totally different depiction of what this word says. Okay, so read with me. Go with me here. And as you can see it on the streaming platforms here. If you're looking at us here, you can see that scripture is on our screen right now. And it says, husbands. He's talking specifically to husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. I'm going to say that again. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. Okay? Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke beauty. His words evoke her beauty. He's talking about Christ loving the church. And he's saying that the words of the husband, it evokes the church's beauty. Husbands, our words are supposed to evoke our wife's beauty. Everything he does says it is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. A couple of key things I want to pull out of that. What he's saying here in this translation is Christ's love makes the church whole. We're talking about the family now. The love of the Father makes the family whole. Okay? And here in the next scripture says, his words evoke her beauty. Your words are supposed to evoke the beauty of your wife. Everything that you do and say is supposed to bring the best out of your wife. It's supposed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. Some of you know it's presenting her without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Okay, and washing her with the word of God. That's the King James Version. And that's what it does. When you bring in the best out of her, you're using the word of God to enrich her in the word of God. Are you washing your wife with the word of God? Okay, that's kind of a little marriage counseling I kind of threw in there too, right? Are you washing your wife with the word of God? That's how husbands ought to love their wives. And we know that is love the wife. I love you. Christ loved the church. Okay. Husbands are supposed to love their wife as Christ loved the church. But I wanted to establish that here because when it starts with the two that come together as one flesh, that's where the order begins to start. So when us men understand the significance of what we just read in Ephesians 5, 25 through 28, you're now positioning yourself to now receive honor and earn respect. You're positioning yourself to receive honor and earn respect. Now, the reality is, okay, all of this is reality, but being real, being practical about this, it's a process of getting to this point. But this is the blueprint of how husbands should strive to love and treat his wife. And if more of us fathers would follow this blueprint of the word of God, here's the deal. Our children would be able to see the strength of a father's love and how we treat their mothers. The children will be able to see the strength of a father's love and how us fathers treat their mothers. And again, I wanted to mention that because the mothers, okay, it starts with how us men, us fathers, treat the wives first because the children are watching. The children are observing. The children are sitting back. And the first form of how they see a man acting, a man treating, a man conducting himself is coming from the father or that father figure that they see. Now, here's another thing I want to make a point of. Not every man that's a father is married. Not every man that's a father is married or has a significant other. But you do have children if you're a father. And this is what makes you a father because you have children. May not be biological. They could be adopted children or children that you take on or whatever the case. You still have that ultimate responsibility as a father. So what I want us to understand, guys, because I want to speak to us and I want to speak to us fathers out there this morning. What I want us to understand is that just because things, and I want you to know this, it does not matter that things did not work out between you and the mother of your children. That doesn't matter. That does not excuse the role that God expects you to play in the life of your children. And the role that you should play, even as you treat the person that gave birth to your children. Okay, we're not saying that if the two of you can't make a relationship work, that's fine. Things happen. We get all of that. No problem at all. But there's still a level that you as a man, as a responsibility, have to treat and respect. Because remember, honor has to be received and respect has to be earned. And that starts with the foundation of the family, which is the man. Now, as we're moving into our scripture here, here's the heartbeat. As we're talking about fathers here and we're talking about the strength of a father's love, here's the heartbeat of our message today. Here's the heartbeat of our scripture today. So if you'll go with me into the book of Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians here, Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, talking to the Ephesians church. There's a specific role and a specific responsibility that a father has, especially pertaining to children. A specific role that fathers have, especially pertaining to children. So go into Ephesians 6 and 4. Ephesians 6 and 4. And I am going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible in Ephesians 6 and 4. And Paul, right here, Paul is teaching specifically the fathers here. If you are a father, this message, the Apostle Paul is speaking directly to you. And he says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Training and admonition of the Lord. Teaching them admonition means teaching them to respect authority. Teaching them to respect authority. And that's going to come from you as a man. This is why we say respect has to be earned. And that earning comes from training. Last week, our message was the power of strength, conditioning. You as a father have to spend, it's a lifelong mission, but you as a father have to spend time conditioning your children to respect authority and training them up in the right way. This is what God is saying. This is what God expects in the training and admonition of the Lord, to respect him for who he is as our Lord and Savior, and to respect his teachings. This is what we mean by training them up in the right way. Okay, Paul didn't say this to the mothers. He specifically said this to the father because he understands the strength of a father's love. And when more of us men and more of us fathers understand our responsibility, we will be able to understand the importance of the impact that we have in our children and in our family. So again, I want to point out here, the process of fathers training and admonishing their children, this is the process of cultivating and nurturing. And this is what it does. It leads to honor and the respect that we all want, we all desire to have, that we all want, and that we all feel that we're entitled to. And yes, we are. But it starts with you taking the first move of training up your children in the right way, regardless of the relationship between you and the mother. That's irrelevant to God. God's specific thing to you is you have a responsibility with your children to train them up in the right way. Okay. So when you do that, then we'll be able to see fathers fulfilling their specific roles and their children will see the strength of a father's love. Now, I am calling for all fathers that are out there. I'm calling for us to be fathers, not friends with our children. Not buddies, not just going out, and all those things are great to go out and shoot ball with our kids and all of that, but we have a job to do first. Okay, it's just like before we go outside and play, what did our parents say? No, you need to eat your food and vegetables, eat everything that's on your plate first, and then you can go out and have fun and play. You work hard, you play hard, right? Some of us fathers, we get that a little bit mixed up. We just want to play all the time. You have to set aside some time to fulfill your role as a father and making sure that you're training the children up in a level of understanding respect, respecting you, number one, respecting God, respecting you, and respecting authority, period. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Teacher, raising my hand first. When you're in public, when you're in public, you're, excuse me, pardon me, teaching them manners, opening doors for ladies and especially the elderly that may be out in public. This is our role. And we have to teach this. Are you opening the car door for your wife Does your child see you respecting that mother like that? This is our job, is to show that. And this is not just for boys. Yes, boys need to see this to have that role model. But girls need to see this as well so that they have that model, so that they have that understanding of how a father is to conduct the family. This is our role. This is our responsibility. Okay? And this is what God expects for us to do, is we're training them up in the Lord in the right way, which first means our relationship with God needs to be tight. Guys, I'm going to say that again. Our relationship with the Lord needs to be tight. Because if God is the head of Christ and Christ is the head of the man, then in order for you to do what God is asking for you to do, you have to have a tight relationship with the Lord. Okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you're not in the Lord, they're not biblically obligated to doing what you say do, because who knows what you're persuading them to do or what you may be influencing them to do. So it is so super important for us men to understand we have to go back to the basics, and we have to go back to understanding what the Word of God says about our role as fathers, so that we can do what God needs for us to do, so that these children that we're raising, that generation that God says he's going to raise up someday, it starts with us men doing what we have to do. It starts with us men going back and making sure that we're seeking God first. Don't worry about if your wife is doing it or not or whatever. You as a man have a responsibility. How do we know that? Because in the book of Genesis, when God gave specific instructions on what to do, what not to do, he gave that to Adam. He didn't give that to Eve. He gave it to Adam. He said, do not eat of this tree of knowledge, because if you do it, you're going to surely die. And he was saying spiritually, you're going to surely die. He gave those instructions to Adam. So when Eve bit the forbidden fruit, nothing happened, nothing changed. But in the cool of the day, when God is looking for accountability, who did he ask for? Adam, where art thou? He didn't say, Eve, where you at? He specifically said, Adam, where art thou? Adam was hiding. What do you mean? Hiding for what? Who told you to hide? What are you covering? Okay, because you died spiritually by being disobedient. And this is what God wants us to know and understand. So when we train our children up in the right way, because we're doing what God needs for us to do, it is going to reciprocate in the generation that God wants to raise. Okay, and again, this is the process of fathers, okay, training and admonishing our children. This is a process of cultivating and nurturing our children. And this leads to the respect and the honor that we want to receive. But if you're not doing those things to receive that honor and to earn that respect, you shouldn't expect it. But because it's in you to receive those things, it's a little man talk here that we're having right now, because it is in you to want to be respected. It is in you to want to receive those things. You have to make sure that you're doing those things to earn that receiving and to earn that respect. It starts with you. It starts with you. So again, I'm calling on all fathers to be fathers, to go back to being fathers. I don't know about you fathers out there, but sometimes when we hear the women in our lives and in our families always talk about what grandpa used to do and what uncle so-and-so used to do and all of that, that's because we're not giving them enough to talk about what we're doing. No, we can't replace those grandfathers and those uncles or anything else, but let's give them something new to talk about, because we're standing up and we're being the men that the family needs for us to be, because we're being the fathers that our children need for us to be. That we can be this new generation of men that are going back to the basics and living a life filled with God and the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that our wives and sisters and mothers and relatives and different people and people within our community can say, wow, look at the men that are today. Look at the men that we have today. We don't need to be having conversations about where are the men at. If we're in our place with God, he said that if we seek him first, okay, if we humble ourselves before him, he will exalt us, is what his word says. So when we go back to seeking God first and we're exalting him first, he is going to raise up the men that we need to be. But it starts with us making sure God is first in our lives. Men, we need to be strong fathers. And I say strong fathers, I mean strong fathers. Strong. And for the men out there that don't have any children, you need to be a strong father figure to the children in your family and in your community. You still have a responsibility. You still have a responsibility. If it takes a village to raise a child, the father can't be everywhere all the time. But it can be a community of men that are there, that are doing the things that fathers are doing, that are being in a position that fathers need to be in, so that there are fathers surrounding kids everywhere they turn around. In our school districts, coming to PTA meetings, okay, going to, voting campaigns and registrations and all these things here. Where are we? We need to be in position, okay? We need to be in position so that the children can see us standing strong and being the strong fathers that we are called to be. Because here's the deal. When we step up as men, again, this is a conversation with men. Everybody's listening to here. When we step up as men, and we're going to have a brotherly fellowship here coming up real soon here, because we have a lot to talk about, fellas. We're just scratching the surface here. When we step up as men and decide to accept our responsibility as fathers, our families, our neighborhoods, and our communities, well, guess what? They will begin to change. They will begin to change, because when we change, our families change. When we change, our neighborhoods change. When we change, our communities change. When we change, this nation can change. Schools will become better learning environments. Neighborhoods will start to become safer. The model of the fatherly man will be edified and well-respected once again. Because if we're doing what we want to receive, and we're doing the works of God, okay, the honor is going to be received and the respect is going to be earned. So this move that we hear about society, the demasculinization of the men and replacing fathers and all that, guys, that's our fault. That's our fault. It's not the commercial's fault that you hear on TV or all these other media pushes and things like that. It is our fault because we are not standing as strong as we should and as we could. And you know, deep down inside, you could do better. You know, deep down inside, you could do better. I know deep down inside, I can do better. And when we decide to do better, okay, then that's when things will change. So I am calling on all men to let's stand strong and let's step up and let's be the strong fathers and men of our community that God needs for us to be. There's so much more for us to do, fathers, than just show financial support. Oh, I sent the money. Well, yeah, child support is being deducted from my. That's not enough, guys. That's not enough. Yes, it is our role and responsibility to be financial supporters. And yes, that is our job to be those providers. But that's not enough. You can't say, well, I send my money, so that's everything. What is that? What is that? That's not enough. Hands on, standing strong, being that role model. Being that role model is what we need to be for our children. In fact, it's our responsibility to do so. We have to be involved in their lives. We have to know their hurts, guys. We have to know their fears. We have to know our children's pains, and we have to know their concerns, because it is up to us to make sure that we nurture them with confidence. They can do it. They can pass that test. They can learn how to drive. They can make straight A's. They can go off to school. They can become that engineer. They can become president. They can become whatever it is that they desire. They need that push from us. That's what Timothy got from a father figure by the name of the Apostle Paul. I can hear Paul right now. Timothy, you can do this. I'm going to hand this torch off to you. You've seen me. You followed me. You've seen all of this here, and I'm going to just nudge you out there to step into your calling. I'm going to nudge you out there to step into your purpose and your plan. He needed that. And when you get that kind of nudge and that kind of confidence and that kind of push from the Father, there's no other push like a push from a father. What would the Jackson 5 be without the push of Joe Jackson? Say what you want to about Joe. What would they be? What would Venus and Serena be without the push of Richard? What would Tiger Woods be without that inspiration and that push from his father? What would Michael Jordan had ever become had his father not been there? And if you read up on Michael Jordan and study him, he'll tell you right now today, his father was the biggest influence in his life. And when he cried and was holding that trophy, just boo-hooing and crying and doing all those things, who was right there next to the greatest NBA player of all time? I want us to understand the role that we play, guys. The impact that we have on our children's lives. They need us because fathers matter. I don't care what you hear that's being said in our society today. Fathers matter. I don't care what you see about trying to replace the fatherly role. Fathers matter. It is a diabolical plan of the enemy to erase the father figure because he knows that if he can erase the father figure, then it's easy to get into a society that don't respect the Heavenly Father. So what better way to replace the fathers and get rid of the fatherly role so that it's just not the level that of respect that we have for our Heavenly Father? We have to wake up and see what is going on, guys. Because if he can erase our role, he's going to break this relationship between us and God. And that is not about to happen. I will tell you this, it will not happen. I speak that it won't happen. As long as I'm alive and breathing and here, I'm going to make sure that I'm promoting it. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing everything I can with the ability that God gives me to make sure we understand that the fatherly role matters. Okay, here's what I want us to understand, guys. Here's that word. I know sometimes we don't like it, guys. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable, but here's that word. We got to man up. Yeah, I'm going to say it. We got to man up. Man, he's hard on the fathers today. We got to be hard on each other. Iron sharpens iron. All this is iron talk that everybody else is listening to, guys. Iron sharpens iron. And because your children and wives matter and they mean so much to us, we got to be sharpened, guys. We got to put that blade, okay, on that sharpener because we have to stand up and we got to man up, guys. We have to stand up and we have to man up. Whatever you did, it wasn't enough. Do even more. Whatever you've done, do it even more. Whatever that you've been doing, give it even more. Whatever time you've been spend even more time. We can never stop being the men that God needs for us to be. We can never stop doing that enough. We can never stop being everything God needs for us to be. So I want us to understand, yeah, we're going to encounter some resistance. Yeah, maybe you and the mother of your children may not be on the best of terms, but here's the deal. You were built to handle and withstand resistance. Okay? You were built to withstand negative chatter. You were built to suck up all the insults that you might receive and all the chatter that may be going on about you as a person. Yeah, they say this about you. They say that about you. But here's the deal. So what? We got to suck it up and we got to man up. We got to suck it up and we got to man up. We got to give all that nonsense to God. Okay? We have to give everything to God. Give it all to God. And he says that when we cast our cares upon the Lord, he cares for us. We got to cast all that because we have a job to do. If we spend our times worrying about what this person said and what that person said and what I don't think and all these other things there, you listen to the voice of the enemy talk you out of fatherhood, talk you out of being the man that God has called you to be, talk you out of fulfilling that role and helping raise this generation that God needs because you're listening to the chattering. You got to turn that off. And you got to make sure that you have, this is why we got to pray without ceasing, because you got to replace those negative voices that you constantly hear. You got to replace that with praying to God. You got to turn, as we had a few weeks ago, you got to turn your worries into worship. Remember that message? You got to turn your worries and your concerns into worship. Okay? This is what we have to do. You got to seek God and constantly pray without seeking and keep that relationship strong with him in your life so that you can do and be everything that God needs for you to be. So we cannot accept any excuses. No more excuses, guys. We cannot accept anything because I'm a believer that when you follow the plan of God and when you do what God asks for you to do, he will open doors that may have been shut. He will give you children that may have been taken away from you. He will do that, but you have to have that relationship with him. You got to give him a chance. There is nothing too hard from God. There is absolutely nothing too hard from God. And if you put your trust and depend on him, I am here to tell you today, he will open doors that you wouldn't have ever imagined. He will open doors that you wouldn't have never imagined. I want us to know something. We still have to be strong. It is our job as men to be strong. It's just like God told Joshua after the death of Moses, when he was appointed to step up and man up and lead the children of Israel. Okay, the children of Israel, we get that? Okay, to lead the children of Israel. See the significance there? Okay, he had to step up and man up. Joshua had to step up and man up and lead the children of Israel. So in Joshua 1 and 17, coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, you can see it on the screen here on our streaming platforms. Here's what God told Joshua. Moses had died. He looked right at Joshua without stopping one instance, without consoling, without. Moses died. God looked right at Joshua and said, only be strong and very courageous. And before I finish reading, I'm going to let y'all know, I have been feeding on this scripture here for about 45 days straight every morning, because as God is growing me in ministry, growing me as a man, growing me as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, so many things, he reminds me every single morning. I read and I feed on this scripture, and I'm sharing this with you guys because I want you to know this is a game changer. This will change your life. If you read Joshua 1 and 7, it will put you in position to understanding your role and the importance of being strong, as we're talking about the strength of a father's love. Read it again here. Only be strong. God is telling Joshua, only be strong. That means you walk around with strength. No weaknesses here. No blame game. No excuses. No, it's too hot. It's too cold. Get rid of the Goldilocks syndrome and only be strong, fellas, and very courageous. He needs us to be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you may go. What God is saying right there, prosperity is lining up with you when you do what he says to do. Prosperity is lining up with you when you do what God says for you to do. I'm calling on us men to be strong. That is the only choice we have, to only be strong and to be very courageous. Guys, take that leap. Take that risk. Don't be afraid. Let your children see you're strong. Let your children see that you're courageous. Let your children be able to stand up and brag on my daddy. Let them say, oh, my daddy did this and my daddy did that and my daddy is strong and blah, 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 blah. Give them something to brag about, guys. Give them something to be proud of, guys. Give the wives and the women of our family something to be proud of. Give the wives and the women of our family the ability to see that strength. Let's earn that respect that we want. Let's earn that honor that we so desire. But just like he told Joshua, only be strong, guys, and only be very courageous. And when we do this, prosperity will align with us in our lives. Fathers, when we train our children in the way of the Lord, we will be rewarded for our obedience, and they will always return back to their training. Think about that. God is rewarding us because he said he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and our children will always return back to their training. They're going to return back to their training, train them up in the right way. And when they grow old, they shall not depart from their training. But I got a better story for us. I got a better story for us this morning. I hope y'all enjoying this Father's Day message on this morning. I pray to God that you are enjoying this message on this morning and that this is life-changing and a game changer for some men out there on today. It's like this parable, guys, that Jesus told all of those that sat around, because remember the Bible says they watched him so that they might accuse him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, different ones, they all sat around because they wanted to catch Jesus in a trap. They wanted to be able to say, aha. They wanted to be able to say, okay, you're working on the Sabbath, huh? Okay, so you're hanging out with this prostitute at this well, huh? Okay, so you're doing all these things. And they wanted to watch him so that they might accuse him. But Jesus was so smooth. He was so cool. He was so collected. He was so well together. And it is definitely my role model, because here's what he did. Jesus did things like, If they asked him a question, they tried to trap him up. Here's what he did. He threw a parable at him. He would do something like throw a parable at him. And so he would do stuff like say, well, you know, there was a certain man who had two sons. And right now where I'm coming from, guys, I've stepped into it here. This is found in Luke. If you want to find this is in Luke. This is called the story of the prodigal son. Okay. And so Jesus is teaching them that sat around, right? They wanted to throw stones at him. They wanted to try to trick him up and all that. And Jesus just, boom, went into telling stories. I mean, just so cool, just so mind blowing. I would have loved to have seen Jesus in action just to see how he just penetrated away from things and penetrated away from people trying to twist him up. And boom, he just went off into a story and they couldn't do nothing but sit there and listen. But here in the book of Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32, I'm coming from the New King James Version here. And I'm not going to read this scripture verbatim, but I'm going to paraphrase this story. A lot of us have heard this story, but I want us to focus on something in this message as I get ready to close here on today. Here's what I want us to understand. Jesus, he tells this story of the prodigal son about this certain man who had two sons. And the younger son, he asked for the portion of his inheritance. So that he could gather his things and journey off, okay, to a country where he would go off and eventually waste all of his inheritance. He wanted to live that lavish lifestyle. He wanted to go off and take, hey, give me my inheritance right now. I just want to go off. I want to test the waters. I want to go off and I want to live this lifestyle. I'm tired of being up in this house. I'm tired of being up in here. I want to go out and I want to experience life. How many of us remember that in our lives, men or women? How many of us remember that we had that prodigal son syndrome where we wanted to get out of the house? We wanted to get out of our familiar territory and we wanted to get out there and experience it. Give me everything. Give me what's entitled to me so I can go out and just live this life out there afar. Does that sound like anybody? I will say it sounds like me. I'll be the first to say it sounds like me. We all have a prodigal son story in our lives. But what happened in this particular story is after he spent everything he had, a famine came over this land. He spent everything. I mean, he bought the finest of the finest. And obviously when you have money and you've got things like that, oh yeah, friends come around. They find you real quick because all of y'all benefiting now. Yeah, all of y'all living it up now. All of y'all are being able to bling bling and do these things and all that. But what happens when that money runs out? What happens when that well runs dry? You look around and where'd they all go? Remember that message we had, friends? How many of us have them friends, ones we can depend on? Well, when the money is gone, who are we depending on? So are those really our friends? Well, anyway, this kid had a lot of lessons to learn during this situation. He ended up living in severe poverty as all of his money was spent, living that fast life. And now he hit rock bottom in poverty. This kid lived in a castle and had everything he wanted. And because he wanted to step outside and look for what I call fool's gold, look at the grass being green on the other side, he lost everything. And not only did he lose everything, but then a famine hit. He had no other choice, but after hitting rock bottom in poverty, he had no other choice but to live a life to where he fed on pig slop. He lived a life to where he was as equal as pigs, feeding on the slop of pigs. How low could it be? All from self-inflicted choices. But after hitting rock bottom, the Bible says in verse 17, in Luke chapter 15, in verse 17, that he came to himself. The Bible says he came to himself and realized it was time to, here's his word, swallow his pride and go back to his father and beg for forgiveness for the way that he left. Because sometimes it takes us to have to live a pig slop life before we realize that we burned some bridges. Sometimes it takes us to hit rock bottom before we realize what we had. Sometimes it takes us to have to be pushed out into the open to really understand and experience life before we realize how good we may have had it. Well, that's what this prodigal son ended up understanding here. But what I want to point out is that when the son came to himself, because his father had trained him up in the right way, this is why he came to himself. This is why, guys, it is up to us to make sure we train our children up in the right way, because eventually here's what's going to happen. They may go out and experience life. They may go out and do some things, but eventually they're going to come to their selves, because why? You trained them up in the right way. And as he made that journey back to his father's house, a great distance away, his father saw. It was almost as though the father went out every day, and Jesus doesn't record this in this parable, but it was almost like the father went out every day just looking to see, at some point is my son going to come home? At some point is my son going to return? At some point is my son going to come back to me? I'm going to just go out and look, because maybe one day, I know that I poured into him. I know that I trained him up in the right way. I know that he has the word of God on the inside of him. Maybe just one day he's going to come to himself. And the Bible says that as a son was making his journey back to the home that he disrespectfully left, the father was out there, and the father saw him from a great distance. The father recognized his son was coming back to the home in which he had left, and the father realized that it was him. And the Bible says right here that the father took a run toward that son. How about that? We're running back towards our son. And the Bible says that he fell on him and he kissed him with a warm greeting back to him. This is what I want us to understand. And the son was welcomed back with open arms, despite of how he left, because the strength of a father's love is so important. The strength of a father's love is what welcomed him back. The strength of the father's love is what allowed him to know, yeah, you went out there, you got nicked up. Yeah, you got knocked in the mouth. Yeah, those things happen, but I love you anyway. I love you anyway. And because I did my job as a father, we're now able to have this union again, because I raised you and I trained you up in the right way. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the strength of a father's love. The son asked for forgiveness from the father, and the father responded by throwing him a party. The Bible says he killed the fatted calf and brought the friends and family over, and they were just so focused on celebrating him and bringing him back in to the place in which he left, because that represents the strength of a father's love. Not chastising him, why did you leave? Why did you do this? Why did you all do all those things? No, he welcomed him back, because he knew he was back in the right place. It wasn't the fact that, yeah, he left out and you could get down into reasoning and behind the why, but he was glad to see his son. And he ran towards the same kid that asked for his inheritance and went out and did his thing and left and probably slammed the door and stormed out. You know how kids can be, right? But the father welcomed him back with open arms. And he showed the power of forgiveness. We're going to talk about that. We're going to start a series on forgiveness and how important forgiveness is for us in our lives. And he showed his strength, because he didn't have to welcome the son back. He could have let self be in the middle of everything, but instead he died to self and said, son, come back to me. And he welcomed his son with open arms. Fathers, this is what our children need from us, guys. This is what they need from us. When they make a mistake, they need our open arms. When they think they've got everything figured out and things go south, they need our open arms. When they ask for more than what they're ready to really take on right now, they need our open arms. When someone hurt their feelings and embarrassed them, they need our open arms. When they fall off of, here's the deal, when they fall off of, here is the deal, when they fall off of the bike of life and have self-inflicted damages, guys, they need our open arms. When's the last time you ran after your child with open arms? When's the last time your child felt comfortable coming back to you because they knew that you were going to receive them with open arms in your life? When's the last time, guys, that the arms were open in your life and your children can be greeted back into your arms? Guys, when's the last time your children were able to receive your love because of the mistakes they may have made, because of the things that they may have done. When's the last time did we shut the door and slam the door and go off and not want to have anything to do with them? Did we want to talk to them like they got a tail in between their legs? Did we want to just embitter them, which is what the Bible says not to do? Or did we stand like that father with open arms and show the strength of a father's love? Guys, if we're not doing that today, I am going to challenge you with the women listening here that's going to hold you accountable. I am challenging you on today to you stand with the open arms in your life for your children. You stand with the open arms of your life to welcome them back. I don't care what they've been through. I don't care what lifestyle they have. I don't care what thing they may have taken on. I don't care how many times they may have been locked up and staying in and out of trouble and maybe trying drugs and doing other things. That is your child. And that child needs your open arms. That child needs your open arms. As a matter of fact, they need to see you running after them with those open arms. They need to see you running after them with open arms. Because when they come to their self and you've trained them up in the right way, they're going to be able to know, they're going to be able to see, and they're going to be able to experience the strength of a father's love. And now I want to also make this time, guys. This is exactly what our Father in heaven wants for all of us. Men, women, boys, and girls. We all stray away and we want to live a lavish lifestyle. We all want to give what we get from God and go off and do some things. And we've all had that prodigal son moment in our lives. And maybe somebody today is experiencing that on today. Maybe somebody today has drifted off and maybe you've slid back into what used to be. Maybe there's a lifestyle that you're constantly gravitating and there's this tug of war that's going on into your life. And maybe, yeah, you went back out there and you wanted to test the waters, but I want you to understand on today that Heavenly Father is standing there right now, this very moment. He's standing there right now with open arms. And he's saying, I don't care where you run. You cannot run too far to where my arms aren't open. You cannot run away and do anything to where my arms are not open. You cannot do anything to where my arms are not open. And if that is you on today, yes, this is a Father's Day's message, but the greatest Father's Day's message that we can all have is our Heavenly Father's got his arms out there for all of us on today. Somebody out there, this message touched you and you know that it spoke to your heart. You know that it spoke to your spirit, but the Father says that he wants to welcome you home, prodigal son, prodigal daughter, and his arms await to welcome you back in. And if that is you on today, right now, this very moment, he is running after you. He is running after you and he is ready to just embrace you, but he wants you to receive him in your life right now today. If that is you, I just want to say a prayer with you. Heavenly Father, that person, they didn't know that you ran after them. They thought they left God and they had to come back and find God. You never leave us nor forsake them. There is no leaving God and finding God because you don't go anywhere. We may stray away, but you're right there and your arms are open for that person out there on today, Lord. There is a father that's hurting on today, Lord Jesus, that needs your arms to just hold them, Lord. There's a mother out there that didn't have the best relationship with maybe with her father or a wife and whoever that is, Lord Jesus. You are the father that we all need in our lives, Lord Jesus. And I pray that somebody out there on the day comes back to you because your arms are never closed. Your door is never closed and heaven is never shut down. Heaven is in business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if that person just believes that you died and rose on the third day, and if they confess with their tongue that you are Lord, your arms are saturating them right now. Your arms are hugging them right now, Heavenly Father. Your arms are wrapping them, Lord, and you're kissing them on the head of their lives, Lord. And we thank you for just bringing them back into your life right now, Lord Jesus. Heal that person's mind, Lord, that don't believe in you, Father God, because they did not have a good relationship with their father. But Lord, we know that you can do everything through us, Lord, because unto you who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to that power that works within us. Heavenly Father, bring them back to you on today in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Never close your arms, Lord. Let them know that your arms are never closed. And just like the prodigal son ran away, Lord, we can always come back to you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If that is you, I want to thank you for joining us on this morning. I want to welcome you into the home of open arms, into the home of open arms in your life. The Heavenly Father has never closed his arms. And I want to welcome you on this morning into a new life, into a new chapter in your life. And if that is you, let us know. Send us an email that you dedicated your life this Father's Day of 2021. You dedicated your life to God and you came back to him. And what a beautiful thing. On Father's Day, I came back to the Father. On Father's Day, I came back to the Father. Let us know. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to reach out to you. I want to pray with you. I just want to just kind of be a little Paul Timothy with you here, take you under my wing and just stay in constant communication with you here as we walk through this life, because we all need some help. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have to be taught back. We all have to be conditioned with that strength. We all have to be in ready position. We all have to be in position of submission. So let us help you walk through that on today. And again, if you want to join this, if you want to join our church on today, you can do that. That same email address. Send me an email. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. If you're on Zoom, connect with us here. Let us know. We got information we're going to send you here so that you can join this church. Okay. This is a church of open arms, as we're talking about, right? We all have some prodigal son moments in our lives, but come back to us. Let's build this community. Let's be strong men. Strong men, a church of strong men where people can see strong men in their community. I'm so ready for us, guys. I'm ready to go to that next level. Y'all can see I'm ready to come out in my coat. I'm so excited. But if you want to join us here, send us an email, reach out to me on Facebook, reach out to me on Zoom, whatever the case. I want to send you that information here. We're going to have new member orientation probably starting in August, but right now let's get everybody signed up. Let's kind of get you going through the processes here. We have a lot to tell you about, a lot of great things that this ministry is going to do. But guess what? A lot of what we're going to do, that's right, you guessed it, it's giving time. It takes resources here. It takes resources here. Listen, we need you. If you want to be a part of this, we need you. We need you because we want to see God do something excellent in your life. We want to see God do an amazing thing in your life. I want to say something about giving here. It's not about the amount. God says, blessed be the cheerful giver. Blessed be the cheerful giver. If you're cheerful and giving $1, then guess what? God can bless that. If you're cheerful giving $2, God can bless it. It's not about the amount. It's about the obedience. It's about showing God, you know what? I ate at this table and I'm going to tip this server because the service was great. I'm going to tip this waiter, this waitress, because the service is great. I'm going to sow into this ministry because this ministry is sowing into me. Guys, feed was feeding you. If this ministry is feeding you, feed it back. Let it reciprocate, because the more you give, the more you receive. God's arms are open, as we talked about. The more you give, the more you receive. This is not about a money thing. Well, I'm not giving my money to the church. No, the devil is a lie. Get him out your ear. I'm telling you, when you start planting into this ministry, I can speak for this ministry here. This is good ground, and blessings on top of blessings are falling. I'm here to tell you. I'm hearing it from people. They're reaching out to me. They're seeing it. I'm experiencing it myself. Give and it shall be given back to you. Try God. That's all I'll say. You try him. You try him. His word will not return unto him void. I want to challenge you. Just give. And if you give, trust me, I guarantee you God will prove himself. I want to thank all of you that do give. All of you all across the nation that give into this ministry, it is such a blessing. I pray over every seed that comes into this ministry. I pray over your health, your strength, your finances, and just that God does everything that he needs to do in your life. So listen, this was a long message on today. This was a lot. This was a lot. And I want to thank y'all that have hung in there with us here on Zoom, that have hung in here with us here on the streaming platforms. And I want to thank all of y'all on this morning. Again, let's get ready here to, we're going to get ready to dismiss here. But again, if you want to join this ministry here, reach out to us. We'd love to have you here. We're building a good, strong system of believers, a system of believers here. And I'm telling you, we've got some awesome things that we're getting ready to do. And let me say this, you can join from anywhere in the nation here. Okay, the streaming platforms aren't going anywhere. Yeah, we'll have brick and mortar here pretty soon, but you can. There's a lot we can do being e-members. Okay, I don't care if you're Chicago, Atlanta, all of you from all across the nation. We got some people that watch us from the UK and Jerusalem, different people, right? All of y'all can become members here. Okay, there's something that we can get everybody to do. So don't think that, well, if I'm not there locally, that listen, we're doing amazing things, and it is not just pigeonholed into the brick and mortar. You can join anywhere. Okay. Everything we do is going to be online. There's things that we can do. Who knows? We may plant churches in other parts of the nation. I don't know what God is going to do. Remember, his arms are open, and I am not one to say, God, that's too much. Whatever God wants to do through this ministry, he needs people, and I'm going to let him have his way. All right. I'm going to stop here. I know y'all ready to get on with your Father's Day activities here and be a blessing to your daddies and the father roles and your lives and all of that. So let's say a quick dismissal here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for everybody that has joined our message on today. Those that came to you, Lord Jesus, thank you for those souls. Thank you for those souls, Heavenly Father. Thank you for everything they're going to do and become in their life, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as those that have given into this ministry, I pray, Lord, 100-fold return on that seed, Lord, that you would open up the windows of heaven's blessings and pour out more room than what they can receive, Lord. I know that you can do because I've tasted and I've seen what you're able to do, and I just want them to experience you as well. And I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And I just pray that everybody has a great Father's Day on today, a great day on today, Lord Jesus. Bring us all back next week, Lord, same time as we get ready to have our closing message on the power of strength. We thank you for all that you're doing. Cover us with your hands of protection, Lord. Give us your traveling grace, and we thank you in advance for a blessed and wonderful day. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Hey, thank all of you for joining us. Listen, come back next week. We're going to have a dynamic message. It's the power of strength, and it's going to be called muscle memory. Muscle memory. You don't want to miss it. We're going to close out the series of the power of strength, and I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this message here. We'll see you folks next week, and love you. Have a great day, and again, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. All right. Whew. Zoom, zoom, zoom. How you folks doing out there? Turn my mic up. Is everybody out there?
Say Happy Father's Day.
Hey, it sounds like my mama. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but it's somebody else.
Uh-oh.
Happy Father's Day, Uncle Jimmy.
Whoa, look at that. What's up, Maddie? What's up, Maddie? Well, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Jenner's
written dad. Well, say that one more time.
Jenner's written dad.
Oh, okay. Alexander's with his dad. Okay. Okay. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, ma'am, for telling me Happy Father's Day.
You're welcome.
All right. Love you, big girl. You sound good. You sound good. You sound like Grandma Betty's peach cobbler right out the oven. That's how good you sound.
Oh, I will man. See you soon.
All right. Looking forward to it because I got to work with you on that crossover on your basketball game. I got to get with you on that. But anyway.
All right. Enjoyed the message. And happy Father's Day.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I'm hoping you got a package already.
You know what? A package came in yesterday. I didn't touch it. I wasn't sure what it was. But no.
We were concerned. We weren't sure if y'all got it.
I know where it came from. But thank you. Yes, we did get it yesterday.
Okay, good.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Y'all, boy, I'll tell you what. Hearing that little Maddie just made my morning. All right, let's keep going. I know we got a lot here, and I know y'all want to get off and get some brunch. Let's do this here. I'm gonna be just a little partial here. Let's hear from my daughter. Take yourself off mute. Yeah, there you go.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, good morning. Happy Father's Day. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, I can't wait to see
you. It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me, and I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine, it belongs to me.
That makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey.
And it belongs to me.
The Friday Night Hype with DB every Friday at 7 p.m. on We Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.